You're listening to the WTA Insider Podcast. Ready? Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the WTA Insider Podcast. I'm Courtney Nguyen, senior writer for WTA Insider at WTATennis.com, and I'll be your host on this podcast, where we take you closer to the players and all the action on the WTA Tour. Well, on this episode, we're going to recap the action in Week 5, which saw Kristina Mladenovic win her maiden title at the St. Petersburg Ladies Trophy, and Elina Svitolina continuing her pretty strong start to the season, picking up her fifth title at the Taiwan Open. Hello, David Kane. How are you?
Здравствуйте, привет из Петербурга, Courtney. Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. Wrong St. Petersburg? Oh, my bad.
Oh, one St.
Hi.
I believe in the one St. Petersburg rule. There is only one St. Petersburg, so, you know, it works. But yes, David Kane is in St. Petersburg, Florida, home of WTA headquarters. And we are going to talk a little bit about St. Petersburg, Russia, where Kristina Mladenovic, under the bright lights of the Cyber Arena out there in St. Petersburg, marches to the title, plays a great final against Yulia Putintseva, wins it in three sets. That final had everything: top quality play, lots of shot making, a choke, a redemption, and a great performance from Yulia Putintseva, who just played an incredible tournament. But along the way, Kristina Mladenovic, she beats Venus Williams, she beats defending champion Roberta Vinci, so solid two wins there. And at 23 years old, she finally breaks through and picks up her first WTA title, which I think I've written this a couple times on the WTA website. It felt like a long time coming for Kiki, who, as I said, 23 years old. You, at this point, especially as a former junior number one, former junior slam champion, you know, you thought that she might have broken through to pick up that title maybe a little bit earlier. But she finally does it, and does it in style. The way that she performed in that final was truly champion worthy. And who knows, maybe 2017 is the year that Kristina Mladenovic kind of finds a consistent singles game.
The year we might see peak Kiki.
Oh my, you did it. You went there.
I did. I went there, and it's already 2 minutes in. So have a great week, you guys. But no, for sure. I think, you know, it's funny with Kiki because we feel like it's been a long time coming, but at the same time, she's been getting closer, and perhaps because they were happening at international level tournaments, we weren't seeing her ping as much on the radar, particularly last fall in Hong Kong, right at the end of the season, you know, narrowly losing to Caroline Wozniacki there. Also making a final on grass in Sertogenbosch against Coco Vandeweghe, and then a year before that on clay. So it was only a matter of time before the roulette hit, and fourth time was lucky on indoor hard courts of all surfaces after I guess after running out of options in the first three first three finals. But really, you know, a stupendous week from her, particularly in the final. I mean, any match where you come away with hitting 60 plus winners in a positive winner unforced error differential is a match that you would expect to be high quality. And for those who watched it, it was a really fantastic match from start to finish, really tense, really dramatic. Some fantastic shot making from Mladenovic, really great fight from Putintseva. And one of those matches where to the very last point, you didn't know who really had it in the bag, because for so many of those match points, Putintseva was hitting screaming winners. I mean, I'm sure the shot of the month category next month will be an embarrassment of riches from that final alone. But it was really just a fantastic performance. You know, she said it was worth the wait after the match. And I'm sure if you want to win your first title, what better way than to do it than to win what is probably one of the best matches so far of the year and might end up being one of the best matches of the season.
Yeah, I mean, for Kristina Mladenovic to be able to put together, you know, that consistency that we were able to see of getting, you know, win after win after win in St. Petersburg, backing up the big wins, not, you know, really seeing much of a letdown. I think that that was really what was the big breakthrough for me with Mladenovic in St. Petersburg. She came into the tournament winless, slight misnomer because she played, obviously, Hopman Cup to start the season, but lost in the first round of the Australian Open, was 0-2 going into St. Petersburg. So for her to be able to pull out of that, to, you know, get those good wins, and obviously maybe a little bit of an asterisk next to the win over Venus Williams, simply because Venus was coming off of a obviously physically demanding and emotionally demanding incredible run at the Australian Open, making the final there and then hopping on a plane to be in St. Petersburg, which I think was a pleasant surprise for many people. But yeah, but gets that solid win, beats Roberta Vinci, always a tricky opponent. And then, you know, yeah, gets it all done against Putintseva. Against Putintseva, even though, you know, it looked like she might have let the nerves get to her in that second set. Led 5-3, served 4, Putintseva was able to force the tiebreak and then force a third set. And, you know, really massive props to Kiki for being able to pull herself out of that. If you haven't had a chance to do it, definitely listen to this week's Champions Corner, which is an interview that I conducted with Kiki after the win. And she talks a lot about how nervous she was, you know, after letting that opportunity slip in the second set. And yeah, it was definitely a third set that felt in the balance. But setting aside Kiki's performance, I mean, let's talk about Yulia a little bit, because again, that was in the final against Mladenovic. That was the best complete match I've ever seen Yulia Putintseva play, which is saying a lot, because obviously she did very well against Serena Williams last year at the French Open, and many would consider that, even though she didn't get the win, her kind of signature performance on a big stage. She had wins before over Caroline Wozniacki and a few other players, but this was just a revelation in terms of seeing a composed yet still intense and highly competitive and very feisty Putintseva just use the width of the court, use her speed, her strength in her legs continues to astound me in terms of some of the shots that she's able to hit when she gets pulled out wide. You know, most players will, when they get pulled out wide, try to yank the ball cross court. It's an easier shot to hit, but she has the leg strength to actually plant and load and then take the ball with pace down the line, even when she's in a defensive position, which I think is an incredible shot for her. But yeah, I was equally impressed, maybe even more so, by Putintseva's performance throughout the week, but particularly the final. And I know that those are words that will be music to your ears, David.
Warms my heart. But yeah, I would say if you had to compare the two going into the final, I would say Putintseva had the better week. You know, she ended up against Svetlana Kuznetsova, was down 5-3 in the third of that match, came back, was 2 points away from losing, and then was also down a break twice in the semifinal to Sabalkova, reigning WTA finals champion. You know, as you said, a little bit of an asterisk with Venus, but then, you know, having that really tricky next match against Vinci was really, it really was impressive and kind of, a sign of things to come from Mladenovic, that she was able to continue playing really good tennis all week. But Putintseva, I really do believe, had she been playing any other opponent on Sunday, she would have came out with the win, because the way she was able to weather the storm against an A++ Mladenovic in a way that I don't think I've ever seen somebody just redline and play this impeccably high level of tennis for a set and a half. It kind of reminded me of the Miami semifinal from a few years ago between Serena and Simona Halep, where Serena was pretty much unplayable for the first set and three quarters, and just a little opening at the critical stage of that second set, and Putintseva knocked the door open, took the second set in a tiebreak, and really, it was really anyone's game in that third set. It was a few close points in that second game when she was up love 40. There was a net court on break point. There was an overruled challenge on the third break point, and from there, she got out to 5-1, but the composure that she displayed really throughout the week, and that's not usually a word that we associate with Putintseva, to come back from 5-1 to save three match points with these incredible winners is just above and beyond what you would have expected from her this week. And it really is something that I hope she continues to take into the rest of the season, because we've seen her, we talk about the French Open against Serena, she is capable of being incredibly dominant on this tour. You know, to get to that quarterfinal against Serena, she beat Pekovic, she beat Carla Suarez Navarro, she won four straight matches at that event without dropping a set at a Grand Slam. And so she's been capable of this level of tennis before. To pull it off on an indoor hard court is even more impressive. And for her to take that into the rest of the season, I'd be very curious to see how she fares against the rest of the field.
Yeah, she's been steadily improving, Putintseva. I'm not entirely sure I would buy, your statement that she could be incredibly dominant on tour.
Jury's
a little
dominant,
out on that,
like,
one, but
like 20 match winning streak. But when she is playing well, she is capable of winning matches very convincingly. And for someone who seems to be one who would more or less rely on defense and have to grind out a lot of tough matches, she can win a lot of matches very easily and not overly fatigue or tax herself, is what I meant.
Yeah, no, that I definitely agree with. And I think that that's something that has been an evolution in Potentseva's game, especially in the last, year or so, is that you're right. I mean, she has gone from being what I always perceived to be a pure grinder to being a player who has some knockout punches. And she's a much smarter player now. And that's a huge credit to her coach. But just being able to, again, use the width on the court, use the angles, I think that was what was really what was entertaining about the St. Petersburg final, is that both women were trying to kind of use every single piece of the court to win a point. With Mladenovic getting herself up to the net, she was serving and volleying. She was trying to cut off these long baseline points by getting herself up there and hitting some tremendous volleys. And then Potentseva, who was doing, everything that she could to get, which is what you're supposed to do against Mladenovic, to get Mladenovic on the move, pulling her wide and putting the ball into uncomfortable places and trying to open up the court to kind of hit through. I wonder if maybe Potentseva needed a slightly faster court. I don't know. I go back and forth when I think about this of just kind of injecting a little bit more pace on the ball for her to be, because there were times where I was actually surprised that she wasn't able to hit. She would do a very good job of opening up the court and then wasn't able to kind of hit through Mladenovic. But yeah, I mean, I think that was a big week for both players. And I'm very, very curious to see, what Potentseva and Mladenovic do, going forward, because, you don't want to see these types of performances kind of just be in a bottle. But I suspect that, I don't know, Potentseva has been building up to something. There's been really marked improvements. What you said in describing Mladenovic's performance in the St. Petersburg final, I think is right, which is it was redlining, and it was an A++++ performance for 2.5 hours. I mean, that was a grueling match to hold that level. For Kiki to hold that level was remarkable, I think. Just a slight blip, obviously, in the second set. But otherwise, fantastic. Can you maintain that? Can you replicate that week in, week out? That is a separate question, although does she need to is another question. But I feel like Potentseva, even though I'm talking up her performance a lot to make it sound like she was redlining, I don't know. I feel like that was actually, that level is more within her reach consistently than maybe the level that Mladenovic displayed is within Kiki's reach consistently.
You see, when it comes to redlining, if she had only played that well through a set in 5-2, I might have found myself a bit more hesitant when it comes to Mladenovic's prospects moving forward. But the fact that she was able to come out in the third after really losing the momentum, losing a lot of the rhythm, hitting quite a few unforced errors between 5-2 and the end of the second set, and to really break Potentseva right away behind a barrage of more winners and quickly regaining her composure and her confidence in that decider does give me confidence that this wasn't necessarily redlining. It was, we've talked a lot about Mladenovic, certainly offline and throughout the last few years, about how she approaches the game. And we've heard her talk a lot about the beauty of performance, even in losses, sort of trying to take the positives and certain shots that she was able to hit. And, coming into that third set, it was clear it didn't seem possible for her to have this beautiful final performance. She'd already kind of lost the plot. She'd lost the second set. And she really did, in my opinion, dig in and really go for her shots. I didn't feel like they were flashy, but I don't feel like they were flashy for the sake of it. It was just flashy because going for a forehand winner is flashy, and playing her style. It's a naturally flashy style. I don't think it was flashy for the sake of it, if that makes sense. And so in that sense, I do feel a degree of confidence and the fact that she is proven herself on all four surfaces does give me confidence that she can perhaps replicate this, certainly on clay, if not on grass and hard courts. When it comes to Potentseva, and even just a comment on the final, was interesting to see between the two of them sort of every shot in tennis be on display, all while Martina Hingis was in the audience watching, you know, I think Martina could probably tick off every shot that she's hit, except maybe Mladenovic's forehand. But every other shot, I think Hingis would be very proud to have seen on display in 2017. But I do agree with you. I think I've always felt in this is sort of, perhaps a contradictory or a counterintuitive thought that that Putintseva is capable of being much more aggressive than she is. When she does get nervous, she tends to fall back. She tends to get very defensive, and that has lost her a lot of matches, and particularly from leads. You know, when that happened to a degree against Kuznetsova in the quarterfinals when she was up a set and a break. But I do think there were a few times in the final where she did have the opening and didn't really inject the kind of pace that she needed to. She did it more than she usually does, and she's doing it more often, and that's why she's getting these wins. But I do think the stepping stone for her will be to continue to embrace the opportunity to be aggressive, because she does have really solid technique. She is able to make up for her lack of size and to play very powerful tennis. And so in that respect, there is room for her to grow. For Mladenovic, this is, if she can replicate this exact form throughout the rest of the year, she'll be perfectly fine. So either way, you're coming out of this week with two really impressive performances from two young players. This is the first really big final between the next generation of players. And if this is what we're going to get from them over the next few years, I'm very excited.
Most definitely. I mean, it was a week for youngsters all over the place, because Alina Svitolina also was able to get herself another title out in Taiwan. Didn't have to go through, you know, top-notch competition. Obviously, St. Petersburg is a premier-level tournament. The Taiwan Open is an international-level tournament. But for Svitolina, who now, again, is, you know, slowly, as we said in our 2017 preview, she's just been improving year over year. And slowly building, she's getting up there to kind of like start knocking on the door of the top 10. And that is where I would expect for to see her at some point. But yeah, she picks up another title, beats Peng Shuai in the final. Pretty much had her way with the field there. As close as she got to being in trouble was a three-set match against Ons Jabeur, losing 7-4 in the third, or winning, 7-4 in the third set tiebreak, but otherwise beat Rodina, Radechka, Jabeur, and Manella before beating Peng Shuai. So, I mean, pretty much business as usual, I think, David, is kind of my takeaway from Svitolina's run. This is what we kind of expect her to do. Like we said, fifth title, international levels for all five of her titles. Still waiting for her to see her step it up at the higher tournament levels. But a nice kind of rebound for her after what was, in the grand scheme of things, a bit of a disappointing Australian Open.
Losing to Pavlyuchenkova, who can be sort of a streakier player, but given the way that field unfolded on that very fast court, Svitolina was sort of prime, you know, upset fodder.
Yeah, that's very
sort
true.
Of tournament. So I'm certainly not going to take as much stock in that loss, especially given how she performed in Taiwan, doing, as you said, sort of what she's become known to do, winning these five titles all on the international level, but playing some decent opposition, you know, getting, you know, Peng Shuai, who's been a really solid force over the last couple of months, winning her first title in Tianjin, looking to be prepping herself to get back to where she was, which is perhaps not, if not top 10, perhaps certainly top 30, seeded at slams. Lucy Safarova was also in the draw, playing really good tennis, although didn't ran into Peng Shuai in the semifinals. It was an interesting tournament. It was one of those, as impressive as St. Petersburg was, there were a lot of interesting and solid and impressive runs in Taiwan between Svitolina, Peng Shuai, Safarova, and even Mandy Minella, who's always been sort of an underappreciated, under the radar sort of player with a really great forehand, who had a really great run this week in Taipei City. When it comes to Svitolina, it's got to be hard to beat Alina Svitolina, because in some ways we're looking for a signature results from her. But at the same time, she has knocked out two reigning world number ones. And so what we're looking for is sort of a signature run. We're looking for a semifinal run at a Grand Slam. She's one of only three in the top 20 to not make a Grand Slam semifinal. We're really looking for sort of the next step at a major tournament. I do think she's close. you know, she's building up this nice foundation of consistency and confidence. And we've seen quite a few players of her generation in the last few years, or at least her generation adjacent, build up their confidence on these smaller events. We saw Simona Halep start here. Karolina Pliskova started on the international level, really winning, racking up quite a few titles, and then breaking through on the major scene. So there's certainly no harm in this title run for her. I think she'd certainly rather come home with a title in Taipei than perhaps lose in the second round of St. Petersburg or even the quarterfinals. I think this is all good from her. And I think it's just a matter of translating this efficiency onto the major stages and to continue putting herself in situations where she can have a breakthrough, that she can get through a Taipei City style draw, which will end up being, for all intents and purposes, the first 2 to 3 rounds of a Grand Slam, and then taking that experience into the second week, into the quarterfinals, and perhaps into semis of major tournaments.
Yeah, you bring up a great point that it is a bit unfair, the expectations that we put on a Svitolina at this moment, because she does obviously have those wins over Kerber and Serena. At the same time, even just now, looking at her results just quickly in 2016, outside of that win over Angelique Kerber, which came in the quarterfinals of Brisbane, she's beaten, the highest ranked player that she's beaten this year so far is number 32, Monica Puig. Which is marginally surprising, just because for some reason, like the draws have just kind of broken a certain way for her. At the Australian Open, she beat Voskovoeva, ranked 274, beat qualifier Julia Bozerup, ranked 119, and then lost to number 27, Pavlyuchenkova. In Brisbane, beat Puig, number 32, Rogers at number 59 at the time, obviously beat Kerber, and then lost to Pliskova. Not a bad run at all in Brisbane, obviously. That was, I still think, her performance against Kerber and getting that 3-set win was, I mean, another one of those amazing performances of, like, I feel like I saw something different from you, and I'd like to see a little bit more of that going forward, a more aggressive stance, more opportunistic, much smarter counterpunching. It was a great match from her. And then obviously in Taipei City, highest ranked player she had to beat was Peng Shuai at number 71. So yeah, I mean, she'll have those opportunities, Svitolina will, coming up in February, obviously in Doha, Dubai, and then, you know, the hard courts in the spring in Indian Wells and Miami. But hopefully we'll see more opportunities for Svitolina to kind of put her stamp on the season, because I suspect that by the end of the year that she will be kind of right there in the mix, and hopefully she's able to get that signature win to kind of cause people to sit up and take notice.
I was just going to say one last note about this year. It's interesting to contrast where we are at this point in 2017 versus last year, where I felt at the beginning of last year, and I think we both agreed that there were a lot of really great performances from younger players, but at the end of the day, the veterans were winning these tournaments. And we've seen something of a shift, at least in the last few weeks, and if not this week in particular, where the young players are impressing, the young players are knocking out big names, and they are taking home titles, which is, you know, a nice, it's the kind of progression you want to see from your tour, that this next generation of players are stepping up, are winning titles, and are building momentum to potentially break through at major tournaments.
And that's a wrap on this episode of the WTA Insider Podcast. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, or on any podcast app of your choice to ensure you never miss an episode when they go live. Reviews are always helpful, so if you like what you've heard so far, please do leave us one. And you can get new episode alerts by following us on Twitter at WTA_insider, and we'll of course post the podcast on the WTA website at WTATennis.com. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you soon.